Yanni.
More high pitched than that.
There's so many things I've been called. Not all of them great. Praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord?
Yes.
Amen. I love getting to come. I couldn't even tell my grandchildren tonight that I was going to church, because if I go to church without them, they literally have a fit. And my car is in the shop, so I didn't have room to bring them in the car with me. So I had to keep it a secret of where I was going. That feels almost naughty. Hallelujah. I'm really excited about the word tonight. I hope it feeds your spirit and soul the way it fed mine. They always ask me for a title, and I've never been good at putting titles on my messages, but the Lord gave me a title for this one, and it's When the Enemy Becomes Our Bread. I spoke a couple weeks ago, and I spoke about the process, that we're all in a process in different places and in different areas, but we're all going through a process, and there's purpose in the process. We have to go through the process because there are things that have to be brought forth in our lives. We're not perfect as we stand. When we come to Christ, we are not that perfect creation that we are meant to be, or that we are destined to be, or that we will be. It is a process through our walk with the Lord that we just get better and better. You know, that we become more mature, that we grow up, that we learn from our mistakes and we quit making the same mistakes, and we become a living testimony of Christ who lives in us and the Holy Spirit who is working us, and that people can look at us and say, whoa, that girl's not the same. I hope that is what's going on in me. I know whether people see it or not, but it's really important that other people see it, because I can just tell you I love you. But if my actions don't show it, there is nothing to it. And I can tell you I've grown and I have matured in the 19 years I've been in Mexico. But if you don't see the change, if you don't see the maturity, if you don't see the growth, then is it really there, or is it just kind of in my mind and it's just a hopeful thought?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the thing, right? So Romans 5, verses 3 through 5. Pastor Bruce touched on this a couple weeks ago a little bit. It says, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. Well, right there, how many of us just fall a little bit short? Hey, there are some honest people sitting out there. Praise the Lord. I'm glad to see that. We are to glory in our sufferings. We are to allow Christ in us to be glorified even as we suffer. And we are to give glory to the Lord even in the midst of our suffering. Whew, that one hurts just a little bit right there. And then it goes on to explain why. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance. You know, we're not born with perseverance. We're not born perseverant. It is something that has to be molded in us and shaped in us. It's something that has to be birthed in us. And we have to grow and mature into it. It isn't just there. Because if it was, we could all be perfect instantly. But I've yet to reach that scale. And it says, perseverance produces character.
Amen. Lord.
Before we come to the Lord, our character is developed as we grow. From the time we're a baby until we reach about 10. That's a little higher than what the clinical studies show. But I'm just going to say 10 so that we can feel a little bit better. The character we're going to have is already created in us. That's a little scary, if you ask me. That by 10 years old, who I'm going to be, my character is set. By the experiences you experience in the first 10 years, your character is developed. Now, that development can go on and mature, but it is developed. If you're a liar at 10, you're going to battle with lies your whole life. If you have a problem with your emotions at 10 years old and you can't control them, unless you get help, unless you work at it, unless you have Jesus, you are going to battle with your emotions your whole life. That is scary to me. That by 10 years, do you know how much I went through by the time I was 10 years old? And I can only imagine what you might have gone through by the time you were 10 years old. So there's a character already built in us. But once we become a new creation in Christ Jesus, we have the opportunity to change that character because we have the help of the Holy Spirit. Because you and me all by our lonesome, we aren't going to change that character. It is Holy Spirit working in you and through you that's going to give you the strength to choose a new character. That's scary too. Because I have to choose. That is scary to me because I don't always make the right choices. And I also sometimes get extremely tired of always being the one that has to be good. Have you ever felt that way? That everything depends on you being good. I'm telling you, if I just lost my cool and started screaming and yelling for a day, everybody around me would fall to the floor and think Jesus had already come. I had missed it. They would. The house would stop. I can't even have a grouchy day. I'm not allowed to ever be grouchy. But I feel grouchy sometimes. I want to scream and yell sometimes. Right? Thank you. But that isn't what the Lord wants in us. He wants us to choose a different character. And that different character is built through perseverance. And it's created in us when we begin to see the deficit in the character we have. Yes. If we never see that deficit, we don't know that we need to change. We don't know that our character is lacking unless we have held it up to something that's a better model than what we got. And that model is Jesus Christ. Amen. We are to take on His character. Absolutely. Whew, this is going a whole lot different than I imagined. Okay, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Okay, we're going to leave that. We're going to come back to it. Remember, we're going to talk about when the enemy becomes our bread. I love that. I love that. I love that. So go with me to Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14, verse 9. This is Caleb and Joshua talking. And it says, "Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread to us." Amen. I don't know how many times I'd read that verse until maybe 6 months ago, 8 months ago, the Lord began dealing with me about that verse. Thought, when they become bread for us, what? What the heck? Okay, so the NIV says, "Only do not rebel against the Lord and do not be afraid of the people now, because we will devour them." The old King James says, "They will be bread to us." The NIV says, "Because we will devour them." And the Amplified Bible says, "For they will be our prey." What do all of these words, bread, devour, prey, what do they have in common? These three words. First of all, bread is food. Bread brings sustenance. Bread brings strength. Bread satisfies and satiates one. To devour means to ravenously eat something that gives you strength. And prey is something that you go after, something you hunt down to kill for food, is the specific definition in the dictionary, Merriam-Webster's, I believe. So it is saying that the enemy will become your food. We are to ravenously eat him, devour him, and gain strength from him. Now, I thought the enemy was out there just so he could torture me and lay me up a while. No, 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 no. There is purpose in the existence of the enemy, believe it or not. He is our training ground. He is who we are training against. Hallelujah. And he should. Bread. What is bread? What does the word say about bread? John 6:33 says this. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. We're talking Jesus is your bread. So in the midst of the enemy, in the midst of the trial and the struggle and the tribulation, who is our bread? Jesus is our bread, and we are to eat of him, and we are to take strength from him. We are to devour his word and grow strong. Even in the face of trial and tribulation and struggle and attack of the enemy. Hallelujah. And then in verse 35, Jesus declared, it said, I am the bread of life. Whoever will eat of me will not go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Hallelujah. How often do we reach the place in our life where we feel like we are starving to death, like we are so thirsty, we are going to drop, and all we have to do is take a hold of the Word of God, take a hold of Jesus, and begin to feed, and begin to eat, and begin to drink of His Spirit, and we will be strengthened wherever we are.
Yes,
hallelujah. You know in those Lord of the Rings movies, they had this elfish bread. My son could tell you the name of it. Lammas, I think he just spoke it into my heart. Okay, and this bread, you could just have a few bites of it, and it could sustain you for a long journey. That's what the Word of God is like.
Amen.
Except it's real.
Yeah, it is real.
Yes. A few bites, and you can chew it, and chew it, and chew it, and it will satiate you, and it will strengthen you in ways you never, ever realized.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Jesus is the Word of God. Jesus is our bread. He is our sustenance. What does bread do for us? What does bread do? Bread gives us strength. Bread nourishes us. It says in Jude 20:25, it says, but you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Do you know when we pray in the Holy Spirit, it edifies us. It edifies your spirit and gives strength to your spirit. Even if you don't know what you are praying, even if you can't see it or understand what's going on, Holy Spirit is praying through you and feeding your spirit, giving you strength, sustaining you, filling you with hope and new life. Hallelujah. But you have to pray in the Spirit. Yeah, hello, there's something you got to do for it. You have to seek it. You have to pray in the Spirit. Jude 20 through 25, the message says, but you, dear friends, carefully build yourselves up in the most holy faith by praying in the Holy Spirit, staying right at the center of God's love. Do you know when we pray in the Holy Spirit, we are at the very center of God's love? Oh, never, ever, whoo, in my life have I felt greater love than when I am in the Holy Spirit. Whoo, when I am praying in that place, never have I felt more love. Never have I felt stronger or greater. Even when I'm crying out my sorrows, I feel love like I've never felt before, and strength flows into my body.
Yes.
Hallelujah. It says, keeping your arms open and outstretched, ready for the mercy of our Master Jesus Christ. This is the unending life, the real life. Oh, hallelujah. You know, when God led the children of Israel out of Egypt, he didn't take the short route. But there was purpose in the longer. You know, they had not known war. They had been slaves for hundreds of years. They had no idea what it was to fight an enemy. All they had ever done to the enemy was surrender. How often do we just surrender to the enemy and give it up? How often do we give in to our anger, to our rage, to our lust, to our bitterness? How often do we give in to those things and just let those things happen? Let those things have rule of us. Our jealousy, our crankiness, whatever, our lying, our stealing, our manipulating. How often do we give in to those things when we can literally put a stop to it? How often do we let the enemy use us, ourselves, to attack the ones we love? We can put an end to it. Maybe not in my own strength, but certainly in the strength of the Holy Spirit. Certainly in the strength of God who lives and sustains me.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Bread nourishes us. The third thing bread does for us is it causes growth. When we eat something that nourishes us, we grow. We grow.
Hallelujah. 1 Peter 2, 1 through 3 says, therefore, rid yourselves of all malice, all deceit. It doesn't say just most of the malice. Malice is hard feelings, anger, orneriness, contention. Malice is a word that means all of it, practically. Deceit, hypocrisy. Ooh, how many of us are hypocrites? That's a hard word to swallow, isn't it? I mean, how often are we preaching at the people we love? We're the first ones that want to tell them how they need to live when we're not living it. Hypocrite. And then in Spanish, it's hipocrita. Hipocrita. Why is it the world hates just the Church of Jesus? Why is it they hate just the Christians? Because we're hypocrites. We're always telling them they're going to hell when we're right there on our way ourselves on a one-way slide. We can go to church every single day of our life, but if we do not mature in Christ Jesus, if we do not change our character and take on the character of Christ Jesus, we can still be there after he comes. Just because we go to church, that doesn't make it a sure deal. We're making it to heaven. It really doesn't. You can be sitting right there and not be saved. That's a scary thought for me. I have a cousin. I love her dearly. And one day, she called me frantic. And when she reached, I'm like, what's going on? What's wrong? She goes, oh my God, I thought Jesus came. Well, he better not have. Well, what do you mean? She had tried reaching everybody in the family. She'd gone down the line till she reached me. And I was the only one she could reach. She thought, oh my God, all the Christians are gone. Praise the Lord. Huh, what a horrifying thought. But think about it for a moment. Will you still be here when Christ comes? What excuse are you going to give him for not having changed your character? What excuse are you going to give him for being in the exact same spot you were the day you got saved? I mean, there are some that would ask you, did you really get saved? I did some translating work with a wonderful man, Jeff Lamb, down in Tijuana, and he preached and believed that if your life never changed, you were not really saved. You needed an encounter with Jesus. Because if you stay the same and know Christ, well, it's the same as rejecting him. That should scare you. It should scare the you-know-what right out of you. Amen. Pastor preached on that Sunday, right? Fear of the Lord. We need a good dose of fear of the Lord in our nation. Yes. But we need to narrow it down. We can't just say, ooh, the nation, ooh, the president needs to hear this. No, we need to say, we need to hear this. I need to hear this. You know, I used to know a gal, and every time she'd hear a good word, she'd say, oh my word, why wasn't Sister Josefina here? Why wasn't Sister Vicky here? Where was Sister Esmeralda? Well, sister, God had you here. What'd you get? Were you just thinking that somebody else needed to hear it and let it go right over your head? How often do we do that? Wives, come on, I'm guilty. I've thought that 1,000 times at least. Oh, why isn't Scott hearing this message? And as I get up to walk out, the Lord said, because I gave it to you. Rid yourself of hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that you may grow up in your salvation. You are required to grow up in your salvation. You know, when you see a baby at 3 years old, that's the size of a newborn, you know there's something wrong. When you have gone to church for 10 years, for 5 years, for 3 years, and there is no change and there is no growth, let me tell you, there is something wrong. I don't know how you can go Sunday in and Sunday out and not grow and change. I don't know about you, but I'm telling you, after the word Sunday, I got on my knees. And I cried out to the Lord, because sometimes bitterness wants to creep in. Sometimes anger wants to creep in. Sometimes envy wants to creep in. And we can't let it. Hallelujah.
It says in Timothy 14, it says, do not neglect your gift, which was given to you through prophecy when the body of the elders laid hands on you. First in verse 13 it says, devote yourself to public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect these gifts. How many of us are called to be teachers and preachers and yet we're not doing it? How many of us are neglecting? Maybe you're not a preacher. Maybe you're not a teacher. Maybe you're a singer. Maybe you're something else. Maybe your gifting is something else. But we're not following. We're not exercising that gifting because, oh, I don't know. There's just no room for it. I don't know. I just don't feel like it. Hallelujah. Verse 15 says this. Be diligent in these matters. Be diligent in your giftings. Hallelujah. Be diligent to read, to teach, and to preach. Be diligent in these things. Give yourself wholly to them. Are we wholly giving ourselves to preaching, to teaching, to discipling, to the Word of God, to others? Are we giving ourselves wholly, or are we holding back? And this last part I just love the most. So that everyone may see your progress. Amen. Progress isn't something you can hide. If progress is happening, it's going to be seen. It's going to be revealed. There's a saying, if you're not going forward, it's the same as going backwards. If you never advance, if you just stay right where you're at, everybody else is going to advance and you're suddenly going to be farther back than you ever were. Without ever taking a step. We can let the enemy defeat us without ever fighting back, just by staying right where we're at forever and ever and ever, fighting the same circle, fighting the same battle, just going in a circle. You know, we used to have horses. I grew up on a horse ranch, and we didn't have this, but our friends, we had some friends, and they had a machine that you would tie a horse to. And it was called a walker. And it literally just walked the horse in circles. So we didn't have to do it personally. We didn't have to get on and ride and you know, work ourselves out at all. We could just attach a horse to that, set the speed, and let her go. Sometimes we want to handle our fate that same way. We just want to get on and then just hold on and not do a thing. Just let us drag us along. But see, we're in a process. And if we're being dragged through the process, we're not actually going through the process. Hallelujah. It says in Thessalonians 5, 16 and 18, rejoice always. Oh, that one always gets me. Pray without ceasing. Oh, shucks, there's another one. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do you know when you're facing the enemy, you are facing the battlefield, and all you can see are the soldiers of the enemy, and you feel this big, you are to rejoice. Amen. Amen. You are to rejoice. Well, what on earth could I rejoice about? How about this? God is your strength. And my grandson loves that song. We're going to have a victory. I'm going to have a victory. My grandson loves the worship. And so he'll sing out these little pieces of these songs. He doesn't always have the full song, but he's got these little pieces. And so we were walking out to school this morning, and he was singing, I'm going to have a victory. I'm going to have a victory. Amen. And I just listened to him, and he's like, when the battle belongs to the Lord. I thought, this little guy is 7 years old and he's preaching at me. Yeah. Hallelujah. We sing about what we should be doing all the time, but we're not doing it. We sing about it. We listen to worship songs about it, but we go to bed and cry and eat cookies. Not pointing fingers. The fourth thing bread does for us is it sustains us. It sustains us. Gives us strength, support, worship. Isaiah 46:4 says, even to your old age and gray hairs. Yeah. Whoops, there.
I am He who will sustain you. He will sustain us no matter what age we are. Hallelujah. I'm glad to hear that, because I think I need Him now more that I have gray hair than I ever realized I did before I got gray hair. It says, I have made you and arise you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you. He is our rescue. Jesus is our rescue in every circumstance, in every situation. If we will eat the bread and turn the enemy into our food, if we will grow in the Lord, the enemy becomes our food. Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and are safe. The name of the Lord. We can just simply cry out His name, and we are in a high tower where He sustains us and He protects us simply by His name. All we have to do is cry out, Jesus! Jesus! When my children were little, we had this game. Well, it wasn't really a game, actually. My son had horrible, horrible nightmares, sleep terrors, in fact. And I was praying, Lord, what do I do? What do I do to help him get through this? And the Lord told me to buy the Bible on tape and play it as he slept. I did that. But sometimes these night terrors would actually take a hold of him before he ever went to sleep. He'd be afraid. He'd see shadows on the walls or this and that. And I asked the Lord, Lord, what do I do? And the Lord said to me, tell him to say my name. Nothing stands against my name. So I told my little six-year-old son, I said, okay, baby, listen, this is what you do. When you see those monsters come on the wall, when you feel fear start to rise out in your heart, you just say, Jesus! Jesus! And the word says, everything has to go. So my children turn it into a game, right? They'd be playing, like with my husband or somebody else, and they'd be getting defeated, right? And they'd go, in the name of Jesus, go away! Okay, well, now my son and his wife told my children, my grandchildren, this wonderful story about jabberwockies, right? And they have to be careful when they go hiking in the woods and stay close so the jabberwockies can't get you. So many of you have seen my little granddaughter. She's a bit of a spitfire, let me tell you. And so I told her this, and I said, all you have to do if you see the jabberwockie is say, go away in the name of Jesus. And it has to go. Yes. Nothing stands against the name of Jesus. Right. So one day her and her daddy were wrestling, and her daddy had her pinned down, and he was tickling her and getting her tummy. And she goes, name of Jesus! Name of Jesus! Go! It was adorable. My son looks up at me. Thanks, Mom. I can't even fight that one, or I am teaching her contrary to what she should know. And he just gets up and walks away. Now, she has made it a game. Every time her daddy's getting her and she needs to get away from him, she says, go away in the name of Jesus. We should be just like that. The Lord says we need to become as children. She so strongly believes in that, that no matter how afraid she is, that's what she uses. Why don't we use that? We know the power that is in the name of Jesus. Just by simply crying out His name, we go into His high tower where He protects us. Hello. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in His name. And all we have to do is cry out to Him, and He will sustain us, and He will feed us. And the enemy becomes our bread. The trial becomes our bread. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The fifth thing that the bread does is gives us strength. You know, there is nothing stronger in this world than the Holy Spirit. You know, God spoke the word, but Holy Spirit did the action. Holy Spirit is literally the embodiment of the power of God. Think about that for a minute. And where does Holy Spirit live? Oh, in me. Holy Spirit is a strength flowing through me night and day.
I am never without Holy Spirit. He never abandons me or walks away from me. He is with me day and night, second by second, minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, week by week, hallelujah, month by month, and year by year. He is with me and filling me and sustaining me. I simply have to call upon Him. I simply have to be in relationship with Him. Talk to Him. Oh, and there is nothing too strong for Him. There is nothing that can defeat Him. There is nothing that can defeat Him who lives in you. Hallelujah! Isaiah 40:29 says, He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. I am powerless without my Jesus. Woo! But with His Spirit, with Holy Spirit, I have power in His name. I am no longer powerless. Hallelujah. I am no longer weak, because when I am my weakest, He is His strongest in me. Hallelujah. Do you know why that is? Because when I am so weak that my flesh has no strength, hallelujah, yeah. He gives me the strength to rise up, because your flesh is always against what the Holy Spirit wants. So when our flesh reaches that point of complete weakness, we are at our strongest, because then even our flesh can't rise up against what Holy Spirit wants us to do. You know why God often waits so long that we're thinking it's going to be too late, it's going to be too late? Because He has to wait for us to get our flesh under control. Because He's not going to do that for you and me. He's already done the greatest thing He can do for us. He gave us His Spirit, woo, to live in us. He saved us of our sin. He gave us salvation. He gave us Jesus, who has given us everything we need. Hallelujah. Why are we not more victorious?
Come on, yes.
Because our flesh is our enemy. And it's time we make our flesh our bread. Yeah. It's time we, right? Yeah. It's time we get strength against our own flesh. We go strong, grow strong in the battles against our own flesh. Nehemiah 8:10 says, do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. That's right. Do you know what the joy of the Lord is? Salvation. Oh my gosh. Do you know what took place at salvation? Not just the forgiving of my sins, which was beyond my wildest dreams, but He filled us with His Spirit. So that I can overcome me. My problem isn't Him. I'd like to blame Him. It would make my life easier if I could just say, He's the problem in my life. Do you know what the problem in my life is? My flesh. And do you know what the saddest thing is? I know it, and I'm still fighting it instead of having the victory over it.
Come on. Yes, good word.
We need to make our flesh the bread that sustains us. Feed whatever our flesh wants, do the opposite.
Yes.
Do the opposite.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says in 1 Peter 5:10, after you have suffered a little while, He Himself will restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. Hallelujah. We have to go through the process, and sometimes the process is suffering. Sometimes we have to suffer, because only through suffering, only through these horrendous trials, do we see ourselves clearly.
Yes.
Because we want to believe we're good. Do you know how many people I've had say, but I'm a good person, why would Jesus send me to hell? Well, good people isn't really the requirement for heaven. It's salvation. And the truth is, none of us are good without Jesus. Most of us can't be good with Jesus, right? How many of us are still battling even though we have Jesus?
How many of us choose the wrong thing, even though we have Jesus? How many of us run back to what should be dead and buried, what is the old flesh, what is the old creation, because it's just easier?
Right?
It's so much easier to get angry. It's so much easier to be ugly, to be flippant, to not care.
Good work. Yes.
But we're to be the opposite of those things. Hallelujah. So sometimes the Lord has to allow us to get to a place of suffering so that we can see the areas where we're weak, where we're the weakest, where we need to improve, where we need to grow, where we need to mature. Do you know what the definition of a mature Christian is? Someone not easily offended. I heard that once. And the direct opposite could be said. Do you know what the definition of an immature Christian is? Someone who's always offended. Always offended. Always offended. Do you know we can serve Jesus for 100 years, and if we are always offended, we are still immature.
That's right.
Our flesh still rules. Pastor Bruce told me once, and I have grabbed this and taken it for myself. He told me once, he said, there is nothing you could ever do to offend me. I forgive you now for anything you could possibly ever do today or in the future. You can never offend me because I have already forgiven you.
Amen. Oh,
can you imagine what the body of Christ would be like if we lived by that?
Yeah.
I mean, all of us, not just a few. If we never allowed ourselves to be offended. Marty, I love you to death, and I know one day I am going to offend you. It is in my nature. But I'm going to say to you, please forgive me now. Forgive me now for when that day comes, because I adore you. Would that we could live like that, right? Would that we just refused to become offended no matter what somebody did to us, no matter what was said about us. What power is there in that?
Amen.
To love so deeply and so strongly that you're never offended. Do you know that's how Jesus loves you?
Yes.
And he's our model. I have never offended him when I should have offended him.
Yeah.
I don't deserve him, but I have him, and I am never letting him go.
Amen.
I have determined I will grow and I will mature. It says 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, For the Spirit God gave us, does not make us timid, which is false pride, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. If we are living in that power, love, and self-discipline, and if we are denying our timidity, our self-pride, hallelujah, then no one could ever offend us. But we do get offended, don't we? At our parents, at our children. I offend my children regularly. I'm sorry, Annie girl. But I do. I think I have a right to say what I want. I think I have a right to butt into her life. I'm living there, for crying out loud. She's going to have to listen to me. She can't get away from me. But sometimes, I mean, it's just better to learn to keep our mouth shut, even if we feel we have a right. And maybe we don't have any rights at all, because if we're sold out to Jesus, well, we don't really have any rights belonging to ourselves, do we? We belong to Christ.
Right,
how wrong are we so often? Hallelujah. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 8, I don't know exactly what verse it is down. I believe this is verse 1 and 2, and I'm going to just jump in. And it says, and you shall remember always the ways which the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, so that he might humble you and test you to know what was in your heart, or to know what was in your mind, whether you would keep his commandments or not. Now let's get something straight. He knows what's in here. It's us who doesn't. Because we are blind to ourselves.
We want to say that everything we're doing is for the betterment of everybody else or somebody else. We want to give an excuse. Well, it was because I'm trying to take care of Pastor.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is, no, it's all about us, and that's pride, and it's wrong.
Come on.
It's wrong. They were led in the wilderness. God knew what was in their hearts. He knew they needed the process and they needed the wilderness to take them through the process, because only there would the things that they were lacking come up, would the areas where they were weak, the areas they needed to work on would come up. How many of us are living in that desert and we are not happy campers and we are seeing things in ourselves that shouldn't be there? Well, praise God for the process.
Woo!
Rejoice! Sister, rejoice! Because revelation is coming to your life. Because when you see the character traits that shouldn't be there, you can get rid of them, praise the Lord. Because you are not weak, but you are strong in Him. And He gives us the strength to tear down anything that rises up against the Word of God. And where does the Word of God live? He lives in us. He is our bread. He is our sustainer. He is our strength. Hallelujah. Second Peter 1:3 says, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through knowledge of Him. Once we come to salvation, everything is implanted in us that we will ever need. Because it's Holy Spirit who does the work. It's Holy Spirit who guides us and who directs us. We've got what we need. We're not waiting for some big something to fall on us. We've already attained it through salvation, through the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We have it. Hallelujah. Woo! And it gets me excited.
Yeah.
Oh, how much more can we do when this becomes our reality? There's a difference between knowing something and it being our reality.
Right.
You know that movie, The Matrix? You know, he was there. I don't know the guy's name. The guy that wore the long black coat and did all the fancy work. He was there. The Matrix was there. The power was in him. But until it became his reality, woo! He couldn't miss the bullets.
Neo.
Neo, there you go. We are like that.
Yes, we are.
When the power of the Holy Spirit living in you becomes your reality, you will begin to change the world.
Yes.
Because you will begin to change. Ho, ho, ho. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit is power. Holy Spirit is knowledge. Holy Spirit is revelation. Holy Spirit is vision. Holy Spirit is love and strength. There isn't anything you could possibly need that Holy Spirit isn't enough.
Glory.
Oh, it says, through these He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature that is character. His divine nature lives in you and me. We have to stop ignoring it. We have to stop denying it. And we have to live it. We have to change our character to His character. Take on His characteristics and live in His power. And make the enemy, make the trial, make the circumstances food to us. Make it our prey. Make it our bread that sustains us and causes us to grow in Him. Hallelujah. Holy is Your name, Jesus. Holy is Your name. Oh, glory to Your name. Praise Your name, Jesus. Yes, Lord, I hear You. Hallelujah, Jesus. Holy is Your name. Woo. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, it needs to become our reality, who we are. And who is it who exactly lives in us? We are not helpless. And how many times do we say we are helpless? I am guilty. Lord, forgive me. I'm guilty of that. Forgive me. I am not helpless. I am not helpless to change my circumstances because the power of Holy Spirit lives in me, and I can speak to the circumstances that are not as though they were, and I can believe in hope knowing that Jesus is working and He is my strength. He is my bread. He is who sustains me and who protects me, and I do not have to fear the enemy. I will make the enemy my bread. I will devour the enemy and I will be sustained. I will make the enemy my prey, and I will rise up in the Spirit of God, and I will see His promises fulfilled in me because I am His promise. He is my promise. Hallelujah. Oh, holy is your name. Holy is your name, Jesus. Let's all stand tonight. Holy is your name, Lord. Holy is your name. Oh, thank you, Lord. Help us, Father, to make the enemy, even if it's our flesh, our bread. Help us, Lord, to devour our flesh, to devour the enemy, Lord Jesus, and gain strength. Help us to grow. Help us to mature in you, Lord Jesus. Help us, Father, to rejoice in any circumstance, because we know that we know that we know that you are there with us, that you are our strength and you are our covering, oh God. And you, Lord Jesus, are our food. Hallelujah. Oh, holy is your name, Jesus. You are holy. You are holy. You are holy. Oh, Father, I choose your character. I choose your character, Jesus. Lord, I deny my character, Father, and I choose your character, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, I choose to be loving and kind and long-suffering. I choose to be all that love is, Lord Jesus, because you are love and you live in me. And if you are love and you live in me, I need to live love. Hallelujah, Jesus. Because it's who you are. Hallelujah, Jesus. If you've heard this message tonight and you don't know Jesus, I ask you to just raise your hands wherever you are at and just repeat this prayer with me. Jesus, I need salvation. I need a Savior. Forgive me of my sins. Come and live inside me. Be my Savior. Be my King. Lead and direct my footsteps. I choose you, Jesus. Oh, thank you for dying for me. Hallelujah. If you've just prayed that prayer, I encourage you to read your word. I encourage you to seek out a place to congregate, a place to fellowship. Oh, I encourage you in this night to be proactive in your salvation. Be proactive in your walk with Jesus. Seek Him out. Seek out the Holy Spirit, because Holy Spirit is all you need. He is everything we need to live a victorious life in Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Glory, 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 glory. God, we just thank you for your mercy, for your love. There's probably not a person in here who couldn't say, Lord, we should be further along than we are. But we can't do anything about yesterday. And you've forgiven us of everything, God. So we're just starting out right now, right here. And God, we dedicate ourselves to your mercy. We dedicate ourselves to your love. We dedicate ourselves to your grace. And tonight, God, we just believe you for more. Hallelujah. If you're here tonight and you need prayer for anything, the Spirit of God is here. And the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom from what? Freedom what? From whatever the enemy is trying to oppress you with. Because Jesus is not the oppressor. Glory to God. So if you need prayer, come on up tonight. You'll be set free. I said you'll be set free. You'll be set free. Come on up. Anybody that needs prayer, come on up. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Janine, come on up and pray. Come on up and pray. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're going to see the anointing fall. No, I don't think so. No. No. Sundarate befamundo kosa. Isaka.